Do you remember where you were, Miss Paget, on the day that Kennedy was assassinated?
Yes, I remember very well. I worked for an attorney in Cartersville.
Tell us more about that attorney, and what were you doing, and what did you feel?
Okay. His name was Clyde Pittman. He was an elderly man. We were in an office with another attorney. His secretary and I were very good friends. We had gone to high school together, and these two attorneys worked with each other on a good many cases. And occasionally, if business was kind of slow, I would walk over and walk next door and talk to her for a few minutes. And we had been to lunch together and had come back from lunch, and no one was there at the time. The attorney I worked for was not there. He had not come back from lunch. So I stepped over to her office, and they had a radio in the office that they played a good bit. And she decided to turn the radio on a few minutes, and we had only had it on a few minutes when the newscaster broke in with the news bulletin. He says, "President, we've just received a report that President Kennedy has been shot during his motorcade in Dallas, and that they have taken him to the Dallas hospital, and we don't have any further details right now." And I looked around. We were just so shocked and stunned. And my first comment was, "Well, maybe it isn't bad. Surely it's not. He's the president." And a few minutes later, they interrupted with another news bulletin and said they had received information that he had serious head injuries, and this was the first hint we had that it might really be serious. So they just stayed on the air talking and giving other details. At this time, they really didn't know what was going on. And then, I guess maybe about 20 minutes later, the newscaster interrupted with another news bulletin, and he was crying, and he said he had received a report that President Kennedy had just died. And we were just stunned to begin with. It was unbelievable. We just could not believe that a president of the United States would actually be shot like that. It was just unthinkable. And then after the initial shock wore off, we were just deeply saddened. And when Judge Pittman, the attorney I worked for, he was a former judge, when he came back from lunch, he was devastated because, I mean, Kennedy was one of he just worshipped President Kennedy from the time he was elected. He was just crazy about him, and he was just killed. And we closed the office, went home, and we did not reopen the office until the day after the burial.
How would you say that the country seemed to take this that day?
The country was in shock to begin with, then just sad. I mean, you really felt lost. This was your president, your leader, and, you know, someone had come in and just shot him. And it was just something that you never believed would happen. You just thought, you know, the president was the president. Nobody was going to bother the president. This was my thinking then. Of course, I have learned otherwise since then, but the country was just in mourning for 4 days. We did nothing but sit in front of the TV the whole entire 4 days. You wanted things to feel normal, but things didn't feel normal. You kind of wanted to forget about it, but you really couldn't tear yourself away either. It was a terrible time, really.
Bringing it up to a world view, did the world seem to react to this in any way?
Oh yes, they were very shocked. After all, this was America. This was the United States, a free country. You know, this just didn't happen in the United States.
After the assassination, the 3 or 4 days until his burial, what do you remember some of the highlights that happened? A lot of your feelings through that time and the country itself and how it reacted to it and kind of the way political stuff went. What do you remember? Go into detail about a lot of that stuff.
Well, of course, to begin with, I remember the swearing in of President Johnson not too long after this happened. That made you feel good in one way because you realized that things were going to go on, that you had a leader. It wasn't really the same, but you realized that the government was set up so that there was a continuity to it. I remember the blood on Jackie's dress as she was standing there as President Johnson was sworn in when she got off the plane too. The blood on her dress, on her legs. At this time we had not seen the film of the motorcade and the actual shooting when it happened. And I remember the blood on her dress, and then I remember the lying in state at the Capitol and the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who came by. I remember Jackie coming in with the children, and I remember them touching the casket, touching the flag on the casket. And of course, the funeral and the horse-drawn carriage. And I remember the song as they brought him up the steps, the Hail to the Chief song, because this was the first time I really ever remember noticing that song and it being associated with the president. And of course it was a slow rendition of the song. They slowed it down. And I can remember, of course, Robert, and I remember Jackie. Jackie was magnificent through this. She just really, you just can't say enough about the way she handled it and how she presented herself to the United States and to the other countries throughout this. And of course, everyone remembers John John saluting his father. Those are some of the things I remember about the days. Also, I remember watching as they transported Lee Harvey Oswald from one prison to another. They had told everyone when he would be moved, so it was full of television cameras, crowded, full of people, and we were sitting there watching, and I can remember the shock. You heard this pop, and all of a sudden, he slumped over, and I can remember saying, he's been shot. Somebody has shot him, even before the newscaster came on and said he'd been shot. And I can also remember being angry and frustrated at Jack Ruby for doing this because I felt like it denied the people forever knowing what actually happened and why. That was the question that was on everybody's mind at the time, was why? Why did this happen? Why did somebody do this? And therefore, we were denied ever knowing why this was done. And there's been a lot of speculation since then, but still, Jack Ruby did everyone, the country, history, a great injustice by killing Lee Harvey Oswald. Because we will never really know why this was done, what his purpose was, why he did it.
How did the country react to the Lee Harvey Oswald thing? Just getting on that for a second.
I think the country was stunned, and I think probably they felt a little like I did. Everybody wanted to know they answered. Everybody wanted to know why this happened, how it happened, what the purpose was. And I just remember being angry, and I think most of the other people were too, because everybody wanted answers, and really now there will never be any answers, just speculation really. And what the Warren Commission found out, some of the things they looked into.
You've mentioned that commission. What were some of the things they found out?
Well, of course, they came to the conclusion that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, and that there was only one gunman, and that the only shots came from the Texas School Book Depository, and basically that's about what I remember from their report.
Was he, when Lee Harvey Oswald was transported, where was he being transported from to?
I don't remember. I do not remember the name. I think he was in just the jail there in Dallas, and I do not remember. I think they were transporting him to maybe a federal penitentiary, but I can't remember that. I really can't remember that part of it. But I'm sure everyone who has seen the film since then, you can see when Jack Ruby stepped out with the gun and pointed it at him. At the time it was happening, I saw him step out. I did not notice the gun that much because I had my eyes on Oswald. And then all of a sudden I heard the noise and he slumped over.
Did this happen before or after the funeral of the president?
Before. Because I want to think that Oswald and Jack Kennedy were buried the same day. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they had his funeral before the president. Also, I believe there was a, wasn't there a policeman too that was killed that same day? I won't say for sure. But there's something in my mind about a policeman, but I can't remember the exact
detail. A policeman at the Oswald transportation or at the motorcade?
No, the motorcade.
For President Kennedy. Okay. Did this seem to make things darker and more, even that much worse and more tense at the Kennedy funeral and the following days to the funeral after Oswald was assassinated?
No, I really don't think that had anything to do with the mood of the country or the mood of the funeral. The country was just in sadness. It was just a dark time.
What do you remember, if anything, about President Kennedy's funeral and some of the stuff that was said?
Okay, that's been, of course, a long time ago. I can remember the cardinal, I think his name was Cushing. He did the eulogy at his funeral. I can remember he made a speech about there was a man and a woman, and he led it into their lives and rings. There was something about rings in there, symbolizing their unity and their life together. And I very well remember the last line of his eulogy, because it moved me and really stayed with me. and it was, "And may the angels, dear Jack, lead you into paradise." And I liked that line. I remember that. Also, they sang the song Ave Maria was sung. That's about all I remember about the funeral. I can remember sitting there crying during the funeral. And also, this is going back to the days during his administration. This time has often been referred to as Camelot because there was such a, I don't know, the mood was enthusiastic. It was kind of fairy tale in a way, and his favorite, that was his favorite show, his favorite was Camelot, the song from Camelot. And that also was quoted a lot during the four days between the assassination and the burial. The lines from the song, "Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot," because that was his favorite song. And that just described his whole administration, I think, to the country, because it was so, his administration was so new. They were the first, he was the youngest president ever to be elected. There was a young couple in the White House. They had young children, and everything just seemed so fresh and so new and so good.